Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Boosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince. And once again, we have our group from Christ for the Nations. So excited for them to be here with us. Yay! Woo! All right. Hey, and today we're going to have a very fun conversation. I think it could get a little uncomfortable in here, where we're going to talk about identity and fasting. Offline earlier, we were talking, while we were taking a little bit of a break, about how a lot of people, when they're talking about fasting, or they even, you know, consider it, there's a lot of idealistic ideas that they have in regards to fasting. Like they think that there's some sort of special get out of jail free card or some sort of special, you know, coins that they get, you know, for going to fast. You know, if you don't mind, Kinsey, you were reading something to me that you'd posted not too long ago on Facebook. If you could read that to start off our conversation, I think that would be a great way to kick this off.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So I posted, if you are fasting in order to gain something or get something from God, then you're not fasting, you're striving. I said what I said. Fasting can be a powerful way to connect with God, but it's important to understand our motivations. If we're fasting solely to gain something from God, we're actually relying on our own efforts rather than His grace. Jesus taught that some demons only come out through prayer and fasting, but Jesus had not yet ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. So this is within the context of the Old Covenant. Now, as a Spirit-filled believer under the New Covenant, who walk with all authority that God has given us, knowing who we are and what we carry as a son or daughter, you know, it's a quote from my dad. My dad said this. He said, dead men don't need to fast, and resurrected sons have everything they already need in Christ. And I think that's such a huge, like, a huge shift, like, mentally and perspective, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to fasting, because often the mind set for it is like, I'm going to fast in order to get breakthrough for this, or I'm going to do this in order to get this. But the reality of it is if you're reborn in Christ and you're adopted into the kingdom, you're adopted as a son or a daughter, you know, we have everything that we already need in Christ. So why are we doing something in order to get something from God, you know?
I love it. And let's kind of paint the picture for folks, because a lot of people, I don't think they understand what it means, you know, taking the quote from your father about being a dead man, right? In Colossians 3, it says, if then you are raised with Christ, seeking those things which were above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Ooh. So you're hidden with Christ in God, right? It says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Wow. So we've been buried and then resurrected through him at, when he died and was raised again. So we are no longer, we're almost like the modern zombies, right? Because we're the dead men walking. Because we laid our life down when we accepted Christ. We allowed ourselves to be resurrected as a new man, a new creation in Christ whenever we were transformed by the renewing of him, right? What is it, Vince? I see that look on your eyes, brother. What is it?
So here's my thing to that is this. Now I appreciate it, and I agree with a pretty decent amount of
it. The hole in my thing here.
No. Here's my thing though. So the Pharisees came to Jesus and they were upset that his people weren't fasting, and he told them, he's like, why do they need to fast when they're with the one who, like, right? So, I mean, I don't remember the exact quote, but basically it's like, why do I need to fast? They're with, like, the creator of the universe. So what's the point? But he did say that the time will come where they will fast, right? So although Jesus wasn't still in the dispensation of the Old Testament, he was also in embodied, living embodiment form, the dispensation of the past, the present, and the future, all walking at the same time. So every single thing he did, he was actually fulfilling and accomplishing everything that the law was requiring of the perfect sacrifice. So I do believe that a lot of us fast frivolously. We do it because that's just what we're taught to do, or that's what we're told to do, or, hey, it's January, it's fasting time again.
Is it? Do you think it's kind of a fasting of works?
Like it's just become a work?
No, it's what I mean by that is, do you think that people are fasting because they feel like they're getting something because they're doing something?
So in essence, though, it would still be like building your resume. I'm fasting, thus building my resume. I do want to get a little more into Kinsey, but I want to throw this question out there too, because what about the whole part of fasting that has to do with where it says that some only come out by prayer and fasting? So if that's the case, I personally don't believe Jesus was ever saying that the only way to get the demon out is to fast and then it'll move because you're fasting. I think the fasting has to do with your laid down life.
100%.
And your laid down life being closer to the one that gives you, because then you're walking in authority. So the fasting, honestly, I think it although in that context, in that society, it did lean more specifically to just food. I think in our case, in our society, it's a lot more encompassing than just food. It's laying down the phone. It's laying down the video games. I know I'm kicking myself right, like right in the chest, right? Laying down the video games, laying down the phone, laying down the hey, I like to work extra. I'm a workaholic, this, or I like to do this, or I have my fun things to do. So I would say it's more of a, the fasting is more of a approaching more of a laid down life as a whole.
I agree.
And what he was saying. So I'm not, and I we have to make that caveat though, because of the fact that when you just say the word fasting, everybody traditionally thinks food.
Food. Yeah.
Right? Everybody's like, oh, you got to fast food.
Right.
Well, I mean, the word does literally mean hand over mouth. So I do agree with you though, that I do believe it can be more than just the one. But I think that we can't detract and say it doesn't have to be. I do believe there's seasons where God's going to say, okay, your video games aren't enough. Right. You need to go deep.
Yeah.
You need to fast. And I believe there's seasons where he may just say, Kirk or Vince or Kesley, you know, or, you know, whoever, you know, or Matthew or whoever, you know, he's like, look, not only do I want you to fast food, but I also want you to fast social media. I want you to just fast TV. Oh, by the way, this is encompassing all distractions for this many months. Right. Mm-hmm. And some of us go, oh, whoa, 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 Lord, months? But sometimes the Lord says, I need to bring you into a season so that you can hear my voice.
Yeah.
So that when I whisper, even in the midst of a crowd, that you can hear the very thing that I say, no matter how loud that roar is in the crowd. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But only if you spend a large segment of time in my presence will you be able to have that level of discernment. Right. Now, here's the caveat most of us miss, is when we get away from those seasons for long periods of time and we don't maintain a lifestyle of fasting, not because we're seeking to gain something, but because we're seeking the presence of our Savior, right? Yeah. It's kind of like when I want to spend time with my father, I'm not looking to get anything from my dad. I want to spend time with my father.
Right.
I want to have that time, especially at the age that I am now. I cherish the moments that I get to spend with my mom and dad.
Because it's the moments that are worth more.
Right. And I get to glean from them in those moments. I get to learn things about their past, where they came from, what's going on, what may keep me from a pitfall in the future because of their experiences. And then the same way, as we continue to press into the presence of God, the more we learn his voice, the more he's going to teach us and guide us and direct us, and sometimes even give us insider information so that it will prevent us from having a pitfall in our future. Mm-hmm. He'll begin to highlight things for us, right? Mm-hmm. begin to teach us precepts upon precepts, lines upon lines of things that we need to know so that we're prepared for the future that's coming. So God likes to give us the inside track, so to speak. I love to talk about the prophetic, you know, and a lot of times when it comes to prophetic words and stuff, God loves to give people inside snippets of what's coming. But it's not just because he wants you to be some super special whatever. He wants to give you an inside scoop because he loves you. Yeah, he wants to prepare you, and he wants you to be set apart for the things that are coming. Right. Now.
So, before we throw Steph or Clayton, whoever wants to jump in on the next part, I will say this as a small caveat. I do think that, especially in our current society now, fasting specifically dealing with food is a huge thing because we use food to self-medicate in a lot of ways.
Well, there's another thing that we don't think about. Food is very social.
It is.
Yeah. I have a friend right now who's getting ready for a bodybuilding competition. I'm about to go support him on that. And here's the thing. Since he's on such a strict diet, there's a lot of events he excuses himself from, and he goes, Kirk, before I started doing bodybuilding competitions, I never knew how communal eating is. That's true. He goes, there's so many things that we do as bonding experiences, and it's all centered around food. Right. So it's also that communal element as well. Right. So we're separating ourselves. Think about Jesus, right? Before he went out to the 40-day fast, right? He went out and he began to fast for 40 days, you know, and in that 40-day fast, right? He went to the desert, separated himself. But what was that? That was just before the time of great temptation for him. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, hey, if you throw yourself off this cliff, you know, wait a minute, get behind me, Satan, right? But Jesus prepared himself for some of the greatest temptations because it would be so easy. Because, and someone says, well, you know what? It's Jesus. He's God. Well, wait a minute. The word also says he faced everything common to man. Yeah. Every lust, every desire, every yearning. Oh, and the desire for ease also. Yeah. So he faced those things. Mm-hmm. So it was, he knew he needed to fast. He knew he needed to spend time in prayer. That's also why he would continuously withdraw to the garden away from his disciples and fast and pray. So, Kenzie, talk to me a little bit more about this thing the Lord was showing you.
Okay, so I'm not saying not to fast. I'm saying, like, there has to be a covenant mindset shift.
Oh, I love it.
You know, because Jesus fulfilled the law, the old covenant. And many people think that the New Testament is the new covenant. But it's not. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, Jesus had not yet died. And so it's still the old law. So Jesus is preaching the old law and talking about fasting, talking about doing works in order to get this or achieve this or whatever. Because before we had the Spirit of the living God inside of us, you know, there were things that we had to do to fulfill that law, you know, to stay right with God. But when Jesus died, he tore the veil, you know, he ascended to the Father, sent the Holy Spirit so that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit and live a life one with God, one with Jesus, you know, having that relationship, you know, being able to walk boldly into the throne room, you know, of grace. And I think the common misconception is that people don't understand that grace is actually a person and it's Jesus. Mm. And that we live under that grace now that we've been reborn into Christ. And with fasting, you know, Jesus did say when you fast, not if you fast. So there will be times in our lives Jesus will come to us, you know, or the Holy Spirit will come to us and he'll say, hey, like, skip lunch today and just come spend time with me. And I believe that fasting is very much a tool, just like the Word of God that he gives us, you know, to say, hey, like, there's trials coming, a testing of your faith coming, you know, and I need you to know my voice. And so I'm asking you to be uncomfortable and grow with me.
There you go.
You know?
Well, Cassley, that's some very deep insight, and I love it. But Steph and Clayton, you two look like you're about to go into an arm wrestling match, you know, to figure out who's going to, you know, lean into this. Both of you look like you have something that's just bubbling, ready to get come out. So whichever of you is going to be first?
You want to go or you want me to go?
Ladies first.
You ladies first.
Yeah. All right. No, yeah, just to –
add into what Kinsey and you guys were saying is that for what I see and for what I believed is that fasting is a preparation season. Fasting is something that's leaning towards like where God is going to like take you to next, not what I'm going to get from him, but rather where he's going to get me to and get me through. And something that I was discussing with other people the other day is that when it comes to faith and works, like what is what? Like what does works do and what is faith is? Well, I believe that faith replaces works through Jesus, meaning that even though in the seasons that we are in, just like our growth with Christ, it seems from like an outside eye like there is a lot of works in it, but it's actually the faith that is the willingness that we do by that and the sacrifice we give to him. And sometimes people think, well, because of my faith, then I'm going to gain something out of it. And I say, no, it's not about the gaining. It's about just the willingness and sacrificial heart that you have for him that gives him the glory and the worship. And something that I was reading the other day, it was a quote. It says, faith in its truest form is not proven in the miracles we receive, but in the sacrifice we are willing to make. And that, honestly, like, it's a surrendered life. And that's what fasting is being surrendered to him.
It is.
And not wanting something from him, but rather just, here is who I am. Here is my time. Here is my my satisfactions. As in my flesh, here is what I like to do. Because, yes, nowadays, fasting is not just about, like, food. But because of how communal it is that we're talking about, it's also, like, emotional access. It's, like, who we are in our own humanity. And by surrendering that humanity to God, we're saying, Lord, I'm ready for what you're taking me to. Not, I want to get what I need to get, but rather, here is my life, Lord, take it.
Oh, that's so good. I've got something I want to say, but I want to give you an opportunity, Clayton, before I do so, if you've got something.
I do. A lot of what I've learned with fasting, on top of what these two had talked about, was how not just the reason why we fast, but like what we're doing as we're actively fasting, right? It's just like, it's not out of works that we do it. It's about like you with food or with video games, you know, you name it, with the phone, stuff like that. It's just like, They're not inherently bad things. It heavily depends on what you're doing with them, of course, but they're not inherently bad. But in the act of fasting, you're taking something that's good. Like, food is good for you. You can't survive without food, at least in the world, right? But you're taking something that's good, and you're saying, God, can you be my satisfaction in place of that, right? Yeah. Can you be in the place of that so that I can have sustenance from you? And part of, like, you know, hey, skipping lunch just to be with the Lord is, like, I get to have the Lord be that energy. And part of what I've been learning this season as well is, like, not just in the fasting, but also just I don't have to work for the Lord in order to earn, but I get to work.
Ooh, that's good.
Great. I mean, First Corinthians says, you know, living under grace causes us to labor even more than others.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just like, how could I not after I've been saved?
It's the works are not supposed to be what drives us into salvation. It's our salvation and the grace that we received that makes us so yearn to do the work for the Lord.
It literally, it like empowers us
exactly
more even than others.
And I love, I took a class with Vince, and one of the things he said, it was like, it was a season, I think it was the speech competitions that you were talking about. It's just you get to enjoy the season you're in, even if it's hard, you know? And right now with, you know, Youth for the Nations, it's been incredibly difficult and lots of growth have been coming in.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying what I'm going through because I get to see the Lord pull through every single time. Yeah. And
he gives us like, he helped, like allows us to partner with him.
Exactly.
Into his glory, into his vision and his kingdom. And it's not like you're saying, like, I don't have to. And it's like, man, like, I need to get there. No, we get to do it with him because he has given us that access.
He invites you into uncomfortable moments.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And so with that, I get to fast.
Right. You don't have to.
I don't have to. I don't have to do that at all. I don't have to do anything. I'm already saved. I already have salvation. I'm already covered by the blood. That's not going to change no matter what I do. But because I'm living for the Lord and I've committed my life to that, now I get to do the things, even if it seems to the world so counterintuitive, you know? Or it's just like to the world, it's like, why would you fast? It's like, because I love God and I want to be with him over having food or over having video games, right? Yeah. To me, it makes sense because I get to know my father through that.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's great. I will say that, like, this is jumping in mind, and I'm going to say it right now. This is the thing that makes Christ for the Nation such a unique place to go. Mm. It's the fact that, you know, you can look at it and go, well, why don't they become accredited so that they can get all this money from the government? Because it would change the entire heart and nature of the school. When it was created, it was created to be an experiential learning environment, a training center for the body of Christ to encounter the living God face to face as much as you can. Mm. And for it to change your life in such a way that it impacts you and others forever.
And just so that you know, everybody, if any of the things that we've talked about Christ for the Nations and any of these episodes that we're recording right now, we will drop a link for Christ for the Nations and the show notes.
Right.
So we're that you can go check them out.
They didn't ask us to do this. We just share it because we're alumni. We love.
We're Illumina. Yeah, we're Illumina.
We're aluminum. We
we're aluminum. Is that my Southern coming out there?
We're aluminum of Christ. No, I'm just. We're alumni, and we just know what it's done for us. We know it's done for our families, and
that's exactly right.
And what it's done for other people's lives. So
guys, one of the things I wanted to ask you: what do you think? And this is not for you, Vince. You've had plenty of time on the mic over the last several years. So this is for our guests, okay?
Said the Kirk.
I know. Anyway, this is for our guests. I have read and I have seen in practice, especially people when they're into physical fitness, they use the excuse, I don't want to lose my gains when God's calling for a fast. Mm. And I've even read some pastors' children, their spouse. I won't call them out by name because they're this particular person is extremely well-known in the faith and in the church movement. But her husband actually has said, well, I live in the dispensation of grace, so God will forgive me if I don't fast. But if God's calling you into a season of fasting and you don't fast just because you're afraid you're going to lose your muscle gains, is that not sin? Thoughts?
I have a thought. Immediately, my first thought is, where is your trust in the Lord? Where is your trust in the Lord? Because if he called you to it, of course he's going to have grace for you to fast. He's going to have grace for trusting in him in that. So it's just like, you never know what might happen. What even might happen, I mean, if you think outside of the box, you might not end up losing the gains as a miracle.
There you go.
Or if you're getting gains, is he challenging you because you're insecure about keeping your gains?
Or maybe, just maybe, just to really kind of throw it out there, Clayton, maybe it's become a god to them.
Maybe. Yeah. Idolize.
Maybe it's become an idol.
Exactly.
You know, because if we're putting our weight training, our physical appearance, our love for McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or wherever, or Reese's Pieces, or whatever the thing is.
Hey, why you got to bring Reese's Pieces in?
Oh, okay, vanilla bean ice cream then, whatever.
I'm just kidding. You know? I'm just kidding.
Or your favorite Starbucks, you know, because Starbucks has so much sugar in it.
Oh, now you're offending people.
Oh, I know. Now I'm really offending people. I love coffee.
You're stepping on an idol right now, brother. You're stepping on an idol.
I know. It's one that I have to keep in check myself. Because coffee and me, we are friends, best friends. Exactly. Hey, you're right. Locked in. I loved it. But the thing is when we allow things to become little g gods in our lives,
right,
and they become something that's a stumbling block from us getting to from point A to point B, mm-hmm. I think that's a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, 100%.
If God's saying, hey, I want to bring you further, but it's going to require you to make a sacrifice, why are we saying no? Yeah.
Right.
Why are we holding back?
Exactly.
But so many times it happens. And it's not just those that are doing weight training. Sometimes people are like, but Lord, I work full time. I'm volunteering at Youth for the Nations, and I need energy to chase after these kids. Yeah. Why? How dare you call me to fast in the middle?
7 in the morning till like midnight.
Sometimes it is caffeine. Sometimes it is coffee.
Right. It could be coffee. It could be even asking for food. Because I remember there's been times when I was out in the workforce, And the Lord said, okay, so it's time. Yeah. I'm like, what? And he's like, it's time. And the job I had to get on ladders. And sometimes I'd be on a 12-foot ladder. And you don't want to have a woozy head because you're, you know, low on sugar or you know, the carbs or whatever, you know, that make up the sugars to keep you going. And you're like, Lord, really? You know what I have to do today? He's like, I got you, son. Let's go.
Yeah. You know, and I think there's a grace in it, too, sometimes in the fact that, you know, there are times when you're fasting, especially like that. And I remember being on an extended fast. And when you work, so what some people might not know is when you're on an extended fast, it can diminish brain function slightly,
yeah.
right? Because food helps fuel
right.
the mind. And the brain is the greediest, like, part of your entire body. Mm-hmm. It craves yeah. the most energy, mm-hmm. the most nutrient. I mean, it's the greediest part, right? It'll actually shut down your heart to sustain itself if it has to in those situations. So I was working at a bank, and you can't have diminished capacity when you're, like, running through, like, people's personal accounts. And so I asked the Lord, I was like, I'm going on an extended fast. I'm like, I need something to be able to sustain me through the day working 8 to 5 mm-hmm. with people's money. I was like, I could lose a job like that. And so he provided a solution that did not violate the fast or nothing like that. And it was, I had to juice, right?
Yeah.
And he gave me 3 or 4 specific, like Gina found it, my wife found it online. It was a juicing recipe that helps. They said it had so much nutrients in it that you could run a marathon on a fast if you were drinking this drink.
Wow. Oh, wow, that's incredible.
And it had that much energy for your body. And it was only juice, right? So no, nothing like that. It was strained, all that, no pulp, no nothing. So it was just the juice. And I drank it in the morning on the way in, and I drank another one at lunch.
Yeah.
And I only drank it at those times of day because I only needed it for work. I didn't need it in the evening. So I only drank it every day, Monday through Friday, and on the weekend I didn't drink it. And that was the rule. So if I worked, I drank it breakfast and lunch. But other than that, I didn't touch it.
Well, you know, everybody's physiological needs and, you know, metabolic needs are different.
True.
However, one of the things that I've found in the seasons when the Lord's asked me to fast, and I've, because, like, you know, I'm into weight training and different things, is I go to the gym anyway. I was thinking to myself, I don't know that I can lift like I, buddy, you'd be shocked.
Yeah,
it's true. Bad capacity.
I mean, it's like I'd go in there and I would lift just as heavy as I would if I'd eaten, you know, for days with no fasting. Yeah.
Right.
If I've seen anything with what the Lord does in his character is, it's the honor that he has for when you do listen to him, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Because I even this year, I've just seen God's honor pull through every single time I've obeyed his word, even if I didn't understand in the moment, right? Because I don't know what the future holds. And so, you know, in him asking me to do something that was something I did not want to do, I still obeyed him, and I still didn't know in the moment when I was doing it, why I was doing it, until even months later when something came up. And I know in some situations I still don't know why God told me to do it, but I do have full expectation to hear, either in this world or the next, why I did it, you know, or why he wanted me to do it. Mm-hmm. But every single time I've done something, either how I expected it to happen or not, he still honored what my desires were, or still honored why I didn't necessarily want to do what he wanted me to do.
There you go.
Ladies, what have you to say about any of this, all of this, even something else that's stirring?
I believe that everything that you guys are been talking is, like, valid and very, like, how I agree. And so what I'd say is, yeah, like, it's all depending on your trust in him and how. I feel like your relationship with him, it all goes back again to your identity in him.
Oh, I love it.
And who you are in him and how much you're willing to you give to him for what he's, like, giving you gain. And, yeah, like, some people, like you're saying, like, would say that I'm going to lose my gain, but what about the gain that you would get if you would lay down that?
I think that is such a great, valid point right there, because the whole purpose of fasting is not for you to get special kudos points, or to get some so experience points, maybe, if we put in a gamer's perspective so that Vince can understand it, right? But the reality is that what it is we're getting ourselves aligned to where we're closer to our Father, reaffirming our identity in Him.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
And also just like we're sowing into something greater than what we're like, what is us, you know? Yeah. And it's about all the sowing and reaping, ripping in this world. Mm-hmm. Because going back into like what we sacrifice or going back into what we're doing in our lives is that what we do for Him is greater than what He can do for us in the moments.
Yeah.
It's great. It's for His kingdom. It's for something greater that you have no idea what's going on, if it's going to be for your future or someone else's future. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about your trust in Him and knowing who He is. Because if you don't know who He is in you, then of course it's going to be hard to, you know, let go of those
awesome.
Things.
That's a huge point about not just for your own future, but could be potentially for someone else's too.
Exactly right.
That's a huge, huge, huge point.
It's kind of like when you're praying, especially if you pray in the Spirit, right? You never know what you're praying for. Paul says that when you pray in the Spirit, you're uttering words that you do not know, that they're the tongues of angels.
Could be for you or somebody else.
If that's the case, God is praying His perfect will through you. That's why I recommend when you're out, like in the mission field, don't pray in the Spirit over somebody, because you might not be praying over that person.
Mm.
Because the reality is you might be praying for someone across the world, which is not a bad thing, but in the moment you need to be praying for the person in front of you. So being cognitive of what you're praying over them intentionally, and if you don't know how to pray, ask Holy Spirit. The Word says that He's our teacher, that He will teach us all things. So anything that we need to know, He will teach us. So when you're in your quiet time and your quiet time in the closet, pray. And allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and to teach you. And He'll use His Word many times, because you can take the Word of God and use those scriptures as prayers. And He'll teach you how to do that. Before we wrap this up, guys, any final thoughts?
Honestly, if I said anything else, it would be another 10 minutes, another 20 minutes, I think. So.
Good thing this is part of a series, right? So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think as a final thought, if anyone's listening and just have been striving for something from God, stop striving. Stop striving. I challenge that. Stop striving. One of the things that I started doing in regards with just being with the Lord and learning who He is just sitting. And that just means physically sitting. I'm not doing a thing. I'm not listening to anything. I'm not reading anything, just sitting. I might read one verse in the Bible and just meditate and just be there. Because when you're waiting on the Lord, you're not just laying down. You're not just whatever, dilly-dally, stuff like that. When you're waiting on the Lord, you're like on the edge of your seat and you're anticipating something from the Lord the entire time. And so...
So good.
It is good.
The challenge I want to give is just sit and wait, you know? Sit and wait and hear what He has to say, and it might take a long time, but it's so worth it because there's always breakthrough when He speaks.
Oh, I love it.
Even that's active, though, because you have to actively, like, discipline yourself to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
So, you know, the really cool thing about this, especially this series that we're doing, is it shows the differences in the variations on where we are, even though we're literally in different generations as far as time frames go, but we're all in the same generation as far as what's happening in the body right now.
Right.
So even though we come from two different time eras and growing up different ways, we get to see where we are at each stages of the life, right?
Absolutely.
So, and the really cool part in scripture talks about that is that, and I believe as Dutch Sheets refers to it as the synergy of the ages, and the fact that you're meshing everything together with the younger and the older, and scripture talks about it. And there's this fervor and there's this zeal that's so contagious that comes from the younger generation, and especially as they're being trained up, that we as those who've been doing this for a long time should be able to glean from that. And there is other things that we can learn as well. As we have been talking, there's things you can learn. There's if you're listening to Holy Spirit and you're sensitive to Him, and I'll say that, I mean, I'm not ready to talk about it specifically because there's so much to unravel, but there's things that God was talking to me about while they were talking that I'm like, oh, wow, that's what that was, and that's where that is, and that's making sense now. So if you're connected with people who have made it their life mission and goal to connect with Holy Spirit on a continuous basis, I mean, the Bible says where two or three are in the midst, I am also. So,
yeah. Very true. I mean, I love it. This has been such great conversation today. Guys, I would like you to write in and tell us things that you've been striving for. So if you have been striving for something and you'd like us to be praying with you on it, write us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. If you'd like to support us, you can also do that at the give page. Guys, thanks again for joining us, and stay uncomfortable.
See y'all next time.